This is the Awake the Dead podcast, episode one. I'm Blake Kaiser.
And I'm Al Johnson.
What's up, Al?
Good morning, Blake.
Good morning. How's it going?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, it is.
Good to be recording. Good to be recording a podcast.
Episode one.
Yeah, we've been planning this for a while.
We have, yeah. So why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, how we got this thing started too.
Yeah, I'm the lead pastor of the Well Community Church. We're a church plant here in San Antonio, Texas, and we've been blogging for a while, or a little while now, trying to address some issues that we're seeing in the context of our ministry, our culture, and our context. And so we kind of want to put a podcast together to kind of flesh out some more of those conversations and details we're already having.
Yeah, man. And you've been in San Antonio quite a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, 11 years.
Wow.
Officially August. It's now August, and we've been here 11 years.
Nice. I've only been here, 4 years now?
Yeah, Blake, tell us. Yeah, where are you coming from?
I'm
from all over.
Yeah. Spent a little bit of time in a little bit of places. But most recently, we were in just south of Seattle, Washington.
Cool, man.
Yeah, me and my wife were out there, and then we got married and eventually made our way out here. So yeah. I'm creative director now at the Well Community Church here with Al. And we're just plowing away in the city of San Antonio, trying to reach people with the gospel. And so
Blake does way more than anything creative. He does everything else. Everything. Creative, not creative, administrative, not administrative. He does everything.
I just like keeping busy.
Yeah. Well, like, he's like the executor, not like killing people, but like like executing on ideas and topics or in vision of the church. And so he keeps us together as an organization, as a church. And so, man, I'm grateful for Blake, and his creative capacity is just a bonus. It's like cake, icing on the cake.
Yeah, there you go. So hey, let's talk a little bit about why we're doing this podcast. What is this podcast about? All that kind of stuff. So we were writing on the blog,
mm-hmm.
For our church blog, and it mm-hmm. sort of, we were addressing things that we saw nobody was really addressing in our context mm-hmm. in this city, and especially for our people, right? Like, yeah. We wanted to reach people, in a meaningful way with the content we were providing through the blog. And so, that sort of spun this whole idea, having a podcast where we could literally spend all of our time addressing that rather than having to go, okay, you know, the church blog is sort of more for, you know, events and everything else. There's you know, different content on there. So we wanted a pretty spearheaded attempt mm-hmm. to try to address those topics, right? So with that, our mission for this whole podcast sort of was helping people, helping Christians navigate the contours of Christianity in a post-truth world. So why don't you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, so I've seen a couple things. One, that we don't live in a Christian country anymore, if we ever did, but it's clearly not a Christian country. And so from my experience, Christians have been led to do two things. One, Christians have become inwardly focused because the culture we live in is rapidly becoming hostile to Christianity. And so it's not cool to be a Christian. You know, you don't make more friends. You have no social benefits for being a Christian. And because of the majority of people who interact with other humans on a day-to-day basis, they're mostly interacting with non-Christians. And so in order to, to not like lose friends or in order to make friends, I think some have become inwardly focused. And so we've adopted our culture's view of everyone's entitled to believe and practice quietly whatever you want to believe, as long as it doesn't infringe on me and it doesn't inconvenience me. And so Christians have become more inwardly focused. That's not the type of Christianity we see in the Bible. And I think the other thing is that I've seen is a massive push for Christians to try to make Christianity more palatable mm-hmm. to the public. And so,
yeah. And we see sort of like, if you look at some of the poll statistics, it's like at the best case, maybe 7 or 8% professing evangelical Christians in the United States today. So they're finding themselves in this context of being surrounded with 93%, 92% non-Christian, just that's the context, right? Yeah. Like that's where we're at. So really this podcast is about helping them not only be empowered for that, but also like, you know, we can talk about the name, the Awake yeah. the Dead podcast really stemmed from this idea of waking up sleepy Christians mm-hmm. To say, hey, realize where we're at. Realize yeah. the context and culture you find yourself in, right?
Yeah. So if we don't understand the culture or context we're in, it's hard to navigate it, right? And so that's the first portion sure. of why we're doing this is a wake-up call to those who don't realize the current cultural context we're in. Also that if those who are unaware that Christianity is becoming or culture is becoming more hostile to Christianity, well, how do you navigate that when in a time of hostility where we used to be more accepting and tolerant, our country, you know, we boast about our tolerance, but yet we're intolerant towards Christians or Christianity. It's becoming more like that.
Yeah, and you're talking about that hostility. So with that, we use kind of that term post-truth world, right? Because yeah. that sort of stems from that hostility as well. So what do you mean when you say post-truth world?
Yeah, well, that's the kind of term that's been floating around the academic circles for a little while now to describe our current cultural context. It was actually the International Word of the Year in 2016. And so the post-truth means essentially means that things like facts or objective truth don't govern the way we think as a society but what we personally feel or perceive should be right, like that does. And so a public opinion is shaped more by emotional appeal or emotions and personal belief than objective truth or facts.
Sure. And so that's why we see that hostility, because people come and approach these situations with the Bible and you know, objective truth, right? And then people are like, hey, that offends me yeah. because I don't believe that, and I don't think that is true, right?
Yeah, well, and our whole faith is built on this truth that we are once sinners in need of a Savior, and we've rebelled against the one God, and there's one Savior, Jesus. And so there's not Christianity, while it's the most inclusive religion ever, in that anyone could come to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you don't become a Christian because of your work, your merit. Like there's nothing you bring to the table. But it's also the most narrow. It is the most narrow religion there is. There's because there's only one way in. And it's only through faith in Jesus. And so I think Christians and somehow forgot like that's we've always believed that.
Yeah.
We've always been "quote unquote" narrow-minded in that, and somehow now we get really scared when people call us narrow-minded.
Yeah, like that's something new.
Yeah, it and maybe you most of you don't walk around calling yourself narrow-minded, but you know,
the reality is we're all narrow-minded. It's just to what degree and like where totally. Are we drawing the line?
Yeah.
With that narrow-mindedness. Yeah. So what are we kind of hoping to achieve through the podcast? You know, we talk about our mission statement, navigating the contours of Christianity in a post-truth world. How are we going to help Christians do that?
Well, I think that, one, like we said, seeing that this is we live in this post-truth world, and maybe unpacking that even more as time goes on. And but at this point in our nation's history, we have to understand that America looks far more like ancient Greece than ancient Israel. And what I mean by that is that we're far more pagan than we are like deistic. Mm-hmm. And so there we have many gods. As opposed to the majority of people believing in some sort of one God. And so the way Christians do everything more and more and more in this culture is going to look quite different than the culture around us.
Yeah, and we see this sort of in the book of Titus too.
Yeah, well, we're in that as a church.
Yeah.
We've been spending some time there. And I mean, the Cretans were typical Greek people in that they had, I mean, Zeus was apparently supposed to be like born there and buried there, and like this god man, you know, Zeus was known to be
Like a womanizer.
Yeah, womanizer. Like a serial rapist.
And they like celebrated this.
Yes.
Like the Cretans people, they celebrated all that.
They did. And it's not much different than us today, right? You listen into a locker room with, you know, young 20 or 18 year olds and, you know, middle schoolers in a locker room, and they're high fiving each other because they stole some girl's virginity, and that's somehow cool. Like, that's what Zeus would do.
Yeah.
And we don't like to talk about that much in our culture, but we have a culture of womanizers and sex addicts, and we're not much different than, and that rules our culture more than I think our culture is willing to admit it. It ruled the ancient like Greek culture as well. And then that, so Christians then had to like live completely different. They lived completely different than like Greek culture, Cretan culture, like we see in Titus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where they're called to. And so they're tempted to not, right? They're tempted to...
Sure. Just in the same way today, we're tempted to marginalize the gospel, water it down, do all the same things in the same context. So that's what you're seeing is, you know, hey, you see Paul writing to Titus going, hey, call these people to wake up and mm-hmm. live out their faith the way that I instructed you, and you, Titus, as an elder, you need to lead them. You have to lead them, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, and like for you, like, you know, you grew up in the South.
Yes.
And so you spent some time
Nashville,
in the South.
Tennessee.
Yeah. And then you spent some time in, you know, Seattle, mm-hmm. in Olympia, in Washington, and you kind of see like the, you know, difference between, you know, what was known as the Bible Belt and like, so how did that, like, you saw, I guess, probably a really stark difference in that when you were in...
Yeah, I think you saw the holdover of what we would call, you know, if we ever were a Christian nation, mm-hmm. that 50s and 60s mm-hmm. kind of like wholesome goodness, ritualistic, yeah. religion-based mm-hmm. Sort of Christianity that was... far more legalistic
yeah.
than what you see, I guess, today in the South. That's what yeah. you sort of get. So you get people that had good moral standards and things like that, but they had a lot of hidden sin.
Yeah.
But where you go in contrast that, and you go to the Pacific Northwest, it's just, it's paganism.
It's open.
It totally open paganism. And it's not maybe debauchery that you would see under the surface, which is interesting because even in San Antonio, we see a lot of that same Southern
yeah.
kind of thing of like everything is, you know, Catholicism on mm-hmm. the surface, but down below we have a very, very
dark.
Yeah. It's super dark here. And that's yeah. that's always lying under the surface. And if you start to search for it, mm-hmm. you will definitely find mm-hmm. it. Whereas in Seattle, everything's... like what we're talking about, it's like your objective truth is okay. And we're not going to push against that. We're actually going to be inclusive and say, hey, all you guys can exist together. You see the coexist mm-hmm. bumper stickers. You see the people that are just open-minded to mm-hmm. anything and everything. And it's all out in the open, right? So that's what you kind of see. But we were so fortunate to be a part of a church out there that really, and especially for me, was my first experience with Reformed theology yeah. was very instrumental. And, you know, getting to intern there and also at that time I was leading worship and things like that. And it was just an experience that, you know, it was a gift from God to really come from those two, you know,
yeah.
Cultures and, yeah. and really see, okay, wow, this is...
Yeah, one is that post truth. I mean that type of post truth world or whatever, like mm-hmm. the coexist world up in the Pacific Northwest. Was there, hostility towards Christians?
Yeah, but it was more like you said, it was a narrow mindedness. Mm. I mean, it was hey, like
Christians are narrow minded.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like you come and you say anything from the Bible, pretty much. Unless you take a verse out of context, yeah. it's not going to sound, it's going to be confrontational, and it's going to be against what the world is preaching to most people or saying, you know?
Yeah. And I think regardless of where you're at, you know, geographically in the United States, it's like that now. And it has probably been like that in a lot of places. We've just been unaware of it because, like in San Antonio, I think If you talk, if anyone over 50, maybe like 40 and up, thinks that we still live in like a moral majority world. Mm-hmm. But anyone under 30 is radically pagan, radically not Christian, radically doesn't have. Well, we've seen people come to faith in our church who've been born in San Antonio, raised in San Antonio, and have never heard of Jesus, which is kind of crazy, right? We're in the South, and you're supposed to be, everyone's a Christian down there. There's churches all over the place. Well, they may have buildings, but no one's in them.
Yeah, we see nowadays a lot of churches in America just not even contending for the gospel, period, right?
Yeah, and it's going back to that, making the gospel more palatable. And so in doing so, they've not been helpful. And I think if we're going to navigate the contours of a post-Christian world, we have to understand that there will be a contrast between contemporary culture and Christians. And so, we really hope to help fellow brothers and sisters do that, contextualize and contend for the faith that was once delivered, to the saints.
Yeah, be okay with that. That little bit of a abrasiveness, I guess.
That's our job. Like, that's the thing that we were called to do, right?
Yeah. Yep. So this post-truth world, that's good news, though. It can be good news. It could be bad news, but it's good news in the fact that God's still working amidst all of this. Like, he knew this was happening. This is the world in which he created us to live in. Mm-hmm. So he's still working. He's still redeeming people. And he's calling believers to press forward, wake up, and then live lives empowered by the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah. And it's, I guess, bad news only if you are unaware, of the context, right? It's good news. He's alive, working in Jesus' life. He's working. He's doing what he's always done, no matter what context. But it's bad news for us if we stay asleep and we don't realize the culture and the context we live in. That makes us poor missionaries and who come up with bad strategies for reaching people.
Yeah, and so as missionaries, you can throw around the term missionary quite a bit, and most people think overseas, whatever they want to say with that. But we're called to be missionaries in the context of our lives every day, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's depending on the theological camp you come from, we're not saying that foreign missions isn't something we ought to do. We definitely ought to do it. But I think that Christians by identity are missionaries in that when Jesus in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18, gives us a mission and he sends us to go. And we're going, as we're going in the context of our everyday life, we ought to be making disciples, which means those who are not Christians, we've got to convert them to Christianity and then teach them to observe all that Jesus has commanded till he returns. So we're missionaries.
Yeah. So that's our that's really kind of full circle why we're doing this as a podcast. And we're trying to attempt to start a conversation that could be happening in some context with people. Mm-hmm. But, largely, we've seen that that's not the case, especially in our city, and the people that we find ourselves in around.
Yeah, and I really want to see too that Christians wouldn't, take the path of least resistance, but like Jesus, they would, not sit at home and waste their lives living comfortably, gaming or playing Nintendo or whatever.
Nintendo.
Yeah.
Is that the generic term for anything that people play these days? Grandpa?
I don't. Last video game I played was the only video game I played.
You played one video game?
Regular Nintendo.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you even remember what that was?
You had to it was like Mario, and it has two Mario Duck Hunt thing.
Yes.
And the thing never worked. I'd stand by the TV and it wouldn't work. So, went outside and shot real guns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And killed real ducks.
Well, they still have Nintendo, but it's not that Nintendo anymore. It's Xbox, it's PlayStation. There's many options for your gaming pleasure.
Well, my hope is that we would not play those games as much as we would. get out there and, proclaim the gospel. And, we only have. We only have this one life to live, and so Jesus had given us a mission and a task, and so we can either waste it waste our lives, or we could, you know, get in the game and be a part of the change. And so I think it's important for us to understand, like, as Christians, the guy we follow is experienced the same thing. So much so he was killed. Like, we're not getting killed.
Yeah.
We're just like getting, you know, unfollowed on Facebook.
Yeah, and we see that, like, this is really the way that God designed this, right? Like, the church thrives under the context of persecution and just in the time that Jesus was around.
Yeah.
The church was thriving because of the word, you know, going out in those conditions, right?
Yeah, and that should be really encouraging for the Christian in this post-truth world, that, like, we because our context looks more like it did in the first century. Mm-hmm. There's hope, because we see history. We've seen God move. We've seen him begin his church, and now we're, you know, 2,000 years later, like, we're still talking about Jesus, because what he said is true, and what he promised is true. Like, he said he's going to build his church, and no one can stop him, and so we're living proof of that. So that should give us hope and joy and put some steel in our spine as we continue to proclaim the gospel in this type of culture. And to kick off this conversation about how to navigate being a Christian in a post-truth world, we're going to spend the next few podcasts answering some or discussing some objections non-Christians have about Christianity, questions that we hear all the time, questions that when we're interacting with individuals in our culture, in our context, have, and why they object to Christianity. And hopefully that'll help and equip and empower, you know, Christians to live out their faith in this context.
Well, that seems like a good place to stop, but we want to hear from you. We'd love to answer the questions that you might have regarding context and current culture. So send those to us at questions@awakethedead.com. That's all we got today. Be sure to follow us online. You can find us on Instagram at ATD Podcast, or on Facebook, just search Awake the Dead. We'll see you next time.